with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! The hour we begin this Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you'll find the chat room. That's where you'll find the spiffy new media player. That's where you'll find a selection of today's most compelling news stories, as selected by yours truly and a couple other members of the Horn family commune. It is also where you'll find the PayPal button. And, of course, every evening, and we are very, very, very grateful for the fact that we met our fundraising goal last night. Thank you to those of you who helped us do that. We look this evening to raise another $150. That's how we keep all of this going. That's how this remains on the air. And, well, frankly, by comparison to folks over in the for-profit media, $150 an evening is a daggum bargain. And, obviously, nobody's out there getting rich on $150 a day. So the PayPal button is there. 15 people at $10 a piece, 10 at 15, 2 at 75, 3 at 50, 6 at 25. I am an impressive cipherer, am I not? Thank you very kindly, Jeremy. Jeremy letting me know all clear on the TuneIn app. TuneIn Radio is one of the apps we recommend if you're using a mobile or i or smart or Android or whatever device. I don't have enough familiarity with the current Windows for Warehouses telephone system to know if there's a TuneIn app for that. I just don't know. But TuneIn or Stitcher Internet Radio both work quite nicely on your smart and mobile devices. Nice note from Dr. John getting us started. Kudos to John Fox. Dr. John says the Horn website redesign is great. I haven't said that. I really like the rotating story posts and how you can put your own writing up there so prominent. Again, nice work by John Fox. Thank you, Dr. John. Thank you kindly. John will be tickled to hear that. He found that repost system shortly after the first time I went on with Chris Hayes, and it was it has proven to be a real boon because it makes it much easier to put content up for folks to consider. And there are more changes, more tweaks, more modifications coming. And Dr. John was just kind enough to send out a tweet about the post that I put up on the Horn about the dysfunction that is West Virginia's poor, perhaps I should have added parenthetically, poor attempt at government. He just tweeted that around. That thing has had a lot of views over the last week or so. So thanks to everybody who's read it, and thanks to everybody who shared it. And I'm working on a follow-up piece that I hope to get out there sometime between now and, I don't know. Next Groundhog Day. No, I'm trying to get it out there sooner rather than later because I've got stories that we may get to this evening that'll show you why it is that needs to get out there. And Dr. John also says the web player at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com sounds terrific. Thanks, Dr. John. Thank you very much. Listen, it's really important to have this kind of feedback to know that stuff A, matters, and B, works. Or maybe it's A, works, and B, matters. We can have a friendly discussion as to which has the greater priority relevance or utility. And Jeremy points out, yes, TuneIn does have an app for Windows 8 and the PS3, and they both work quite well. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. I don't know, so it helps. It helps to have that. Now, it is indeed Titanic Tuesday, of course, so named for the Titanic intellects that either inhabit or, as some of us might say, infest the weirdo right wing. And we have some magnificent exemplars this evening, without a doubt. We've even got, oh my God, a musical interlude. You may recall that Titanic Tuesday is named after, or is named for an evening, or an morning's right-wing radio broadcast over in America's fifth smallest radio market, or something like that, namely Beckley, West Virginia, when one of the 972nd tier right-wing right-wingers who was broadcasting on that 50-watt blowtorch over there responded to a question from one of his wingnut followers who wanted to know why there were celestial fish in rock strata of landlocked West Virginia, to which the 972nd tier right-wing host responded that it was as a result of the movement of the Titanic plates, not to mention the Titanic gravy boat and the Titanic soup tureen. So you get the idea. Yeah, you can't make up stuff like Titanic plates. There's all kinds of stuff out there that you can't make up. And when it comes to Titanic intellect, and like I said, we've even got a musical interlude this evening, courtesy of Wonkette. You may recall that in the not-too-distant past, we discussed the ongoing lunatic candidacy of one Victoria Jackson. Isn't that how Flimball says Jackson whenever he's talking about the Reverend Jesse Jackson? He says, Jackson. Well, Victoria Jackson is running for county commissioner down in Williamson County, Tennessee, Stan. And you may recall that we were talking, a week or so ago about the fact that she got caught flat-out lying. And, of course, being a right-winger and, bonus, a fundamentalist Christian, she doubled down on the lie instead of confessing her sin and asking for forgiveness, like that book that she thumps on but doesn't read very often says to do. Anyway, Victoria Jackson is back. And she's got some song stylings. No, really, she's got a new song. The title of the piece over at Wonkette is Victoria Jackson Makes Compelling Case for More Than Zero Rehearsals. And because of the way my mind works, I saw that reference and was immediately reminded of a bit of dialogue between Groucho Marx and Chico and Harpo. And I can't, what movie does that come from? I don't think it's Night at the Opera. Maybe it's Day at the Races. But there's an exchange between Harpo and Chico, between Groucho and Chico, and of course Harpo standing silently by, in which Chico is a band leader. And he's discussing his price structure with Groucho. And there's a play and have a rehearsal. There's this much if we play and have two rehearsals. And at some point in time, Groucho says, how much if you don't rehearse at all? And Chico remarks, oh, you can't afford that. Well, this is along the same lines, only, God knows, less funny. But Victoria appears in her There's a Communist Living in the White House t-shirt, I'm sure if you were to go and find her put together with a little bit of batshit and bailing wire website, she'd probably be willing to sell a communist in the White House T-shirts. Oh, my God. Yeah. Because Barack Obama is a communist. That's some communist, that Barack Obama. Communist Barack Obama okayed John Kerry to pledge $1 billion to Ukraine sometime in the last 24 hours, time differences being what they are. $1 billion of American money to Ukraine, just to sort of put a finger in the eye of Vladimir Putin. And by the way, I saw an article or a post or whatever we call it these days. I saw a post over at Think Progress a little bit earlier. And it referenced, and I want to make sure that I get this right, if, of course, I could get any cooperation at all out of the Horn production computer, which is kind of a dodgy proposition on any given evening, but seems to be particularly bad today. Anyway, this post at Think Progress said something like, America learns that Vladimir Putin is world's biggest troll. Troll, of course, being a term of art in internet land for, well, you know what troll means. And I saw that post, and I just I immediately thought, well, how about that? For a website that holds itself out as being pretty doggone serious, that seems pretty unserious. And it pointed as well to something that you can see any time that world conflict begins to arise. The first thing we do is make fun of the other side. They've also got a post, how the world sees Vladimir Putin in 15 photos. And, of course, there's the obligatory Vladimir Putin with the Hitler mustache. And this is just a little, you know, just a little thinking, thought experiment, whatever. But it occurred to me to wonder if we're ever really going to fully appreciate the ability of individuals to do horror as long as the first knee-jerk response is always to hang a Charlie Chaplin mustache on somebody or put a swastika armband on them and make a comparison with Hitler. Because, you know, isn't it interesting? And I'm not in any way diminishing the horrors that that man perpetrated, but isn't it interesting that Stalin killed a hell of a lot more of his own people than Hitler did? Granted, Hitler started the Second World War, but Stalin killed more people than Hitler did. But nobody ever shows up with pictures. I mean, even the teabaggers who call Obama a communist, remember? They don't show up with pictures of Barack Obama as Stalin. Maybe it's because Hitler has the distinctive Charlie Chaplin mustache. Is that it? But even this business of referring to... There it is. In epic press conference, Vladimir Putin reveals himself as world's most powerful troll. So the demonization has begun. And I think we are far better off, are we not, to treat the situation with the seriousness it deserves. I would hope that the so-called anti-war left is not going to get suckered into this kind of thing. But again, in epic press conference, Vladimir Putin reveals himself as world's most powerful troll, shows up at a headline at a website that considers itself to be progressive and also is not The Onion or The Daily Current or any of those other outfits that are so fond of doing satire. Just something to think about. And I welcome your thoughts, of course. Email Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. Or your calls, 304-658-3333, a little bit later. Or on Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, if you want to contact that way. Messages also come in via Skype as well as email and Twitter, @BobKincaid, or Bob Kincaid on Facebook. It's a little bit of, like that juggler with all the plates spinning on the sticks in the air, but I try to monitor all of them during the program. Just because, this is new media, so it has to be as interactive as humanly possible. It's hard to believe I restarted this damn computer about 2 hours ago, and it's already being a bitch. And I mean that in a non-gender-specific way. But back to Victoria Jackson. This is just much too much. Remember, there's a communist living in the White House. We mercifully don't get to see enough of her to see the rest of the T-shirt to find out if maybe there's a picture of Barack Obama with a Hitler mustache. You know, communist, because, you know, everybody knows Hitler was a communist. I better be careful what I say. You know, this stuff may be going out into the atmosphere somehow or another, or it may be going into space, and for all we know, there are teabagging aliens out there circling that are living on planet Norblap 6. Really? I mean, you know, this will be thousands of years from now. Hitler was a communist, and we can just, oh dear. But let's do, since it's Titanic Tuesday, let's enjoy this little musical interlude from Victoria Jackson.
Hands Off by Victoria Jackson. Obama is a liar, and we all know that well. He's our communist dictator and taking us to. But on that road toward tyranny, I need love for a magic trick. I hope I don't get sick. I hope I don't get sick. I hope I don't get sick. I hope I don't get sick.
I hate to interrupt, but I think she already has, don't you? I mean, this is one of those things that begin to sort of corkscrew through your brain after you've eaten some mad cow or something. I think they're well on their way with Victoria. Communist dictator. Really? God, much more of this, and I'm going to have to put my foot in the bucket and sing. Communist dictator. Like I said, we authorized $1 billion worth of aid to Ukraine today, which I'm sure was some sort of socialist fascism, communism to Victoria Jackson. But as Sandra noted last night, we not so good at, how about authorizing a few $1 billion for the people who had their unemployment cut by the Republican Party in the House and the Senate? Could we do? No, we can't do. But a measly $1 billion. We really are broke, aren't we? $1 billion. When there's a $15 billion offer on the table that includes, or that's in addition to, fuel price cuts from Russia. I'm thinking we don't have this whole, we must be, you know what? I'll bet the Obama administration's just hell on eBay. Let's see. What's the bid on that package of fancy ramen, Mr. President? The bid is $10. Very good. Bid $1.50. Let's go back to Victoria singing.
And we all know that well. He's our communist dictator and taking us too. But on that road toward tyranny, I need luck for a magic trick. Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. So keep your hands off me. Keep your hands off me.
Not a challenge.
Keep your hands off me. Everybody keep your hands off me. 2014 conservative victory. Keep your hands off me. Keep your hands off me. 2014 conservative victory. Obama told the people free stuff for every child, man, and wife. Free drugs and doctors, cars and college, even eternal life. Somehow they all believed him, but I know one thing is true. Someone's got to pay for that, and I think it's me and you. Keep your hands off me, keep your hands off me. 2014 and 16, conservative victory. Keep your hands off me, keep your hands off me. 2014, conservative victory. Verse 3, Obama wants our children. Parentalrights.org. Common Core, Obama wants our funds, Obamacare, everybody on food stamps. Obama's already controlling the media, and now he wants our guns.
Wait a damn minute. Food stamps for everybody? I think this woman is on planet Norblap 6. That or else you and I have just been hoodooed by some sort of Obama Kenyan Muslim mind trick to think that the Congress has hacked the hell out of the food stamp budget and the Obama administration went along with it. I mean, I think at this point, if anything, it's maybe it's like the northerner who goes into the southern diner and the server comes up and she says, "You want some grits?" And the northerner says, "I'll try a grit." It's like that. Because if everybody's going to get food stamps, I think it's more like everybody gets a food stamp. Which does, you know, and of course food stamps don't even exist anymore, but why should that trouble a titanic intellect like Victoria Jackson?
And George Mason said to disarm, I need my glasses, to disarm the people is the most effective way to enslave them. Our guns, Obama, our guns.
Yeah, this is the zero rehearsals part of the program.
Oh, he's fooled a lot of people with his Marxist Muslim philosophy.
You realize this is serious, right? Facts don't matter. Marxist Muslim philosophy. Please, anybody begging here? Can anybody? I mean, anybody. Can anybody please point me to one Marxist philosophy espoused by Barack Obama? One. I mean, this is one of those Diogenes moments. One Marxist philosophy espoused by Barack Obama. I mean, email, Twitter, whatever is fine. Just one. And if we can find that, we need to find one Muslim philosophy espoused by Barack Obama, and then we need to find one Muslim Marxist philosophy, and that's going to be like a little bit of a chore, because there's just not a whole bucket full of Marxism in the Quran, and not a hell of a lot of Islam in the Communist Manifesto or Das Kapital. I would hazard a guess that maybe there's zero. Jesus, the stupid.
But I'm not one of them.
Conservative victory! Keep your hands off me! Keep your hands off me! I want liberty! I don't want tyranny! Keep your hands off me! Oh, keep your hands off me! Tea party.
With the raised fist, you know, like 1968 Mexico City at the Olympics, right? With the fist. Ain't a damn drop to drink in the studio, and I'm thinking I need that. Oh, Jesus. Dr. John, not at all well here. I hope I don't get sick. I hope I don't get sick. I hope I don't get sick. Too late for me, says Dr. John. I'm already sick. Bob, if I run out of vomit, can I borrow some from the commune? Time out. The line that I laughed through was, Bob, if I run out of vomit, can I borrow some from the commune? Oh, God. Dr. John, continuing, he says, this is like what Woody Guthrie would have sounded like if he'd been on J. Paul Getty's payroll and also way less talented and much stupider. That narrows the situation nicely. And Jim just parked one in the right field cheap seats too. What type of medication is this fool not on? Not helium for sure. Mm. Yeah, see, she doesn't have any of that Obamacare. Asa pointing out, can you say voice made for print, Bob? Yeah, I want to... Sherman, set the Wayback Machine for like 1979, and we'll just stick around the NBC studios till her audition comes up on Saturday Night Live, and we'll throw a bag over her head and take her to Tennessee or something and just keep her from ever getting famous so none of this will happen. Was that a guitar or a ukulele? Well, I mean, the last time I saw her, she was working a uke. I think this is like one of those little parlor guitars. Whatever it is, what she did to it shouldn't have happened. What type of medication is this fool not on? Marty not enjoying our festivities. Must you assault not just my ears, but my intelligence? I feel myself getting stupider. And I'm even enjoying the buffering that just hit, more than that clip. Yeah, the buffering's over because I've gotten done uploading Dr. Bill's program to the Dropbox, so you don't even have the refuge of buffering anymore, Marty. But mercifully, Victoria is done. Titanic intellect, however, continues to roll on. Darlene with a note, Victoria Jackson, she sounds like she's plastered, Bob. Oh, wait. That's how she always sounds. Pretty much. I mean, this woman, if she really was drunk, she would be an argument for prohibition. Thank God she's not stoned. She'd be an argument for, the ongoing criminalization of cannabis. But no, she's just high on Jesus. Really, yes. But speaking of the criminalization of marijuana, cannabis, we have to toddle over to Maryland, which has occasionally been noted for being a rather sane state. The Maryland legislature recently considered tweet in from our buddy Fritz. Is Victoria Jackson even sober in that comedy sketch? Hashtag she's here all week, try the veal. Maryland, because it's Titanic Tuesday and there's going to be a steady stream of stupid here for a little while. They were having hearings on a bill that would have legalized cannabis in the state of Maryland. And someone got, and I guess it was some anti-cannabis goob, some Titanic intellect, who called the chief of police of Annapolis, Maryland, a person by the name of Michael Pristoop. You know people had to have done that as he was growing up. Hey, Pristoop! No, Michael Pristoop is chief of police in Annapolis, Maryland. And when you're chief of police in Annapolis, Maryland, you get paid the princely sum of $147,515 taxpayer dollars per year. He's been chief of the Annapolis Police Department since 2008. So that means he's made something like getting close to nearly $1 million in the last 6 years. So, Annapolis Police Chief Michael Pristoop is called to testify against the demon weed. The demon weed. And wanting to make sure that he makes as profound an impression as he possibly can, because he is, after all, deeply, deeply, deeply concerned about public safety. He felt it was his moral duty to remind the people of Maryland just what sort of hell path they would be treading if they went down the marijuana legalization pathway. And so, as he was testifying against cannabis legalization at a Maryland Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee, about a week ago, Annapolis Police Chief Michael Pristoop said, and this is a quote, and you have to use the authority voice for this, without the weirding module, I will note. I mean, just set the scene in your mind. He's got his blue policing costume on, and he's sitting behind the table, and he's looking very serious, and he probably took his hat off in the house because, you know, Mama raised him right. And he looks at the assembled lawmakers, and he says, "The first day of legalization, that's when Colorado experienced 37 deaths that day from overdoses on marijuana." Had he but had the handy technology I have, he would have said, "The first day of legalization, that's when Colorado experienced 37 deaths that day from overdose on marijuana." Really, really. The nearly $150,000 a year police chief of Annapolis, Maryland, asserted as fact that there were 37 overdose deaths in Colorado on the first day of legalization, i.e., what, January 1? He did. That's when Maryland State Senator Jamie Reskin, who is the proponent of a bill legalizing recreational cannabis, I mean, I guess he was just stricken in the spirit and had to jump out. And he said, unless you have some other source for this, I'm afraid I've got to spoil the party here, but your assertion that 37 people died of a marijuana overdose in Colorado was a hoax on the Daily Current and the Comedy Central website. Chief Perstupid? Okay, he didn't call him Perstupid. I did. And here's how your authoritarian right-wing goose-stepper responds to being corrected and told that he has been trying to promulgate bullshit information. If it was a misquote, then I'll stand behind the mistake. But I'm holding on to information I was provided. Really? Even after this goob was told that 37 people didn't die of marijuana doses in Colorado because it was a big laugh, it was a ha-ha, it was a goof, it was a joke, it was a funny, it wasn't even a misprint, it wasn't a mistake, it was a deliberate piece of satire aimed at exactly the kind of authoritarian assholes that Police Chief Michael Perstupid is. He still doubled down. Just like Victoria Jackson doubled down when she got caught lying outright about textbooks and sex ed in Williamson County, Tennessee. I'm holding on to information I was provided. I've got it right here in my official government police department manila envelope. And I'm holding on to it because I don't want to see 37 marijuana overdose deaths in Maryland, my Maryland. I don't even want to see one marijuana overdose. Good. Then legalize it, because you won't see any overdose deaths. I mean, like zero there, Chief Perstupid. No, really. If it was a misquote. See, that because obviously Senator Jamie Raskin, who is an elected member of the Senate of the state of Maryland, just makes crap up, and, you know, he's probably one of those hopheads, and they're liable to say anything when they're on one of their marijuana trips. If it was a misquote. It's not a misquote. You accurately quoted the article, dipshit. The whole article was a gag, a joke. I mean, Jesus Christ, what does this guy do if he's sitting in the audience and the comedian says, "Take my wife, please"? Does he run and kidnap the comedian's wife? Oh, F me to death. Man, you just... Dude, here. Smooth.
I'll not be having any of your marijuana hallucinations. We cannot allow communist infiltration, communist marijuana, communist munchies to deprive us of our precious bodily fluids. Oh, a little note from Jeremy. Subject line, ingredients for Titanic Tuesdays. One standard neon green tennis ball. One standard gray duct tape roll. Two cups any standard hard beverage. And a whole lot of... It's about the size of it. Lottie with a little visual along the way. I know. I thought so, Lottie says. Separated at birth. Baby Huey and Victoria Jackson. Yep. But see, here we are talking about what an idiot she is, and of course that constitutes Christian persecution. Tim, with a note, I interrupted my shower to type this. Bob, are you absolutely positively sure that Victoria Jackson is not the world's most shrill troll? No, that's Vlad Putin. Was she pretending to be an idiot, pretending to be insane, or none of the above? I mean, the whole thing was like a talent show sketch on Saturday Night Live. Wait, I forgot the words. Wait, I need my glasses. La, 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 Muslim commie. Good Lord, somebody call Al Franken. Maybe he's in on the scam. I wish it was a scam, Tim. It ain't. It's no scam. This Tea Party! Power! White power! Fist in the air. Yay! Note coming in from Will via Skype. Will in Chicago. This is a bit late, but I think this police chief and Victoria Jackson have proved that Euripides was right. Whom the gods would destroy, they first drive mad. It looks like the very short drive is nearly over for both of them, hopefully off the edge of the Grand Canyon. And Will adds, as a Jew, I will call her a schmuck. Does Michael Perstupid get a schmuck too, Will? I mean, just checking in. You're the committee. Glenn with a note. Bob, I don't know if you're trying, but your Adam West impression is killing me. That was just my authority voice, although it could, I guess it, could it be? Yeah, I guess it could be Adam West. I'm not entirely certain. But maybe we'll have to think about it that way. Oh, okay. We've got a clarification coming in from Will in Chicago. Yes, police chief per stupid is a schmuck and a moron. And he is also a tuckus lecher for the drug war. And I'm sure I have just ravaged a perfectly good phrase in Yiddish, so my apologies out front. My apologies also for my disappearance from the chat room. I had no idea I was gone, but, well, you'll... Ah, okay. A tuchus lecher. Yeah, butt licker. Okay, got it. Indeed. Thank you, Will. Thank you very kindly. Trying to get back into the chat room now. And? There we go. Good evening, everybody. Anthropogene is in the chat room, as is our buddy HZ and Kathy and Verblin and Will from Chicago's there. Of course, our longtime moderators, Lottie and Sparky, and more folks wandering along as the program progresses. And thanks go out to Anthropogene for getting us started on fundraising this evening. We are now only $130 away from meeting our fundraising goal, so that makes it a little bit easier. Thank you very much. And I'm sure Anthropogene would appreciate a little camaraderie, a little shoulder-to-shoulder. If you want to use the traditional mail address, that's fine. Just shoot me a note so I can then send it along for Bossman Wayne, so Bossman Wayne doesn't have to wear his spider-proof gloves when he reaches into the mailbox there. Oh, thank you, Dr. John. The Marx Brothers movie with the "you can't afford that" orchestra rental bit is Animal Crackers, which is a dandy. I'm a big Marx Brothers and W.C. Fields fan. There's just never a bad time for either. And a note coming in from the Cossack in regard to what I was asking about Putin. He said, mayhaps you should lighten up a bit on Putin. Turn the scenario around. Russia funding violent breakaway fascist street goons in Texas, firebombing and shooting cops, occupying state administration buildings in Austin, etc. Just something to think about, which is an issue that I raised exactly that issue last night. How would we feel if
Russia came over and meddled if Texas decided to secede. I'm naturally suspicious of anybody who's ever been a member of anybody's secret police. I think that's rather a disgusting profession. But, well, you know, we all make mistakes. But I think the bottom line is that Putin wants to recreate a non-communist Soviet Union, a sort of restoration of the prestige that the Soviet Union enjoyed that Russia does not. It probably plays a big part of this, and frankly, it's a little bit shocking to me when I see a site that considers itself as serious as does Think Progress refer to him as a troll. I mean, that's a little bit more than strange. Okay, so we've got a Titanic intellect in Victoria Jackson. We have a Titanic intellect in, and you know, that's kind of frightening. I mean, Victoria Jackson's just running for the Williamson County, Tennessee County Commission. This guy in Annapolis is $150 a year of taxpayer money to be that dumb. To be suckered in by an article in the Daily Courant. Because it's C-O-U-R-A-N-T, so isn't that, yeah, not necessarily current. Or maybe it is current. But either way you slice it, the guy's a Titanic intellect for continuing to stand by the assertion after it's explained to him that he has just used a comedy piece to try to achieve, oh dear God. Of course, anybody in the Horn family commune in Maryland care to tell me what the status of that bill is? I'd appreciate an update. It'd be interesting to know how many members of the Maryland legislature there are who, my God, 37 dead in Colorado in one day. What have they done? Marty noting, tosser, nutter. Tell John Fox I need some more Aussie-British insults. Otherwise, I think it's time for a couple of colorful metaphors regarding Chief Perstupid and the stupid one, Ms. Jackson. Right. Oh, mercy. Yeah, it's going to be... It's got the potential to be rather of a busy little evening. And speaking of Titanic intellects... We haven't had an Alex Jones sighting in a while, and, well, frankly, this one's just precious. I think it was Joe who posted this on my Facebook page, and God knows I had a giggle. So the backstory on this, Raw Story, mistakenly asserted that Alex Jones is an internet radio host, you know, like me, only not. And Alex Jones had a purple polka-dotted, blue-screaming, jiggling hissy over the mistake because he wants people to know, no, by God, he's on the real radio. Yeah, no kidding. Serious Titanic intellect getting ready to cook up here. So I would, if you've already chewed through the first tennis ball, Jeremy, well, thank God they come in cans of three, right? Because you're going to need the second one. I'm not kidding. No, not at all.
And you've got all this going on. In the last 5 years, there's been all these attempts to overthrow the Russian government by the West and George Soros. And they're picking a fight with the Russian bear, folks, that isn't perfect. But compared to George Soros, the Nazi collaborator, I mean, Putin was a Nazi collaborator when he was 15 years old and said he was proud of it, basically, like George Soros did on 60 Minutes, that he had no problem with what he did. So, you know, I just, George Soros is trying to overthrow the Second Amendment and free speech here and trying to do it in Russia. And, I mean, I'm sick of him. I mean, haven't you had enough time on the planet? Haven't you done enough evil, Soros? I mean, is there no end to what you're up to? But I don't want to get off into some jag about George Soros. I just want to vomit. I want to vomit at his activities. I mean, he funds millions of dollars to groups like Media Matters run by the White House that openly call for free speech to be shut down and say my show is evil and I'm calling...
Wait, Media Matters is run by the White House? Did I miss the press release? And they've called for Alex Jones to be shut down? Wouldn't you love to get a look at all the bell jars that hold the people who listen to Alex Jones? Yeah, me too.
Calling for violence and all these lies. They're connected into groups like Raw Story. Look at this headline. Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones, who was in the studio with us Friday for an hour, Democratic Party, now the KKK, but with minorities. Well, the KKK was race politics, and the Democrats ran the KKK till the 60s, and Eisenhower passed the Civil Rights Act, and Republicans did it.
And Twiz Brillig and the Slithy Tove and Geyer and Gimbold and the Wave and all Mimsy were the Borogroves and FEMA death camps. Ah.
They were the anti-slavery party, folks. And so the Democrats flipped into race politics with minorities. And what we said is, for anybody who's informed, is total truth. I'm not saying Republicans are perfect, and I said that. They edited it up, and the great part is the first line is, Fox News host Tucker Carlson appeared on right-wing conspiracy enthusiast Alex Jones' internet-only radio show on Friday. This Sunday show's on over 90 stations on record, some big, some small, all across the country, 590 a.m., formerly owned by President Lyndon Johnson, one of the top stations in the state. I'm broadcasting right here from my own studios in South Austin. We're on that station. We're on in Chicago. We're on into New York City. We're on into Los Angeles. I say into Los Angeles. We're on a station right. We're on all over Oregon. We're on over 160 stations weekdays, 80, 90 stations. It varies on the Sunday show. We're on in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're on, it's on record. The 100,000-watt FM. And then another station, AM, in Knoxville, WBCR. I could just keep listing and neurotically. I know 10 stations in Oklahoma, 8 stations in Arkansas.
Did he say listing neurotically?
Would that be to starboard?
Jesus.
Oh, Muriel. Get the purple crayon and the great big butterfly net. Yeah, maybe the blowgun with the Thorazine darts. We're going to need them. No, do, please, Alex, go on.
Kansas, we're on Kansas City, St. Louis. AM, FM, but that's not even, that's a big part of our audience. I started out on 98.9 here in Austin. It's not talk anymore. It's music. Started out there. Station didn't have a lot of ratings. I had great ratings. That's where I got launched into syndication. I went on a station when didn't have any ratings. I had better ratings than Howard Stern did on the local station. And he had decent ratings for that station. The other station shows didn't have any ratings. It's Howard Stern and my show at night. I was on the weekend. 22 years old. Man, you got some ratings here. We're going to be a weeknight show. Wow, you're doing good in the ratings there again, boy. I've been on AM and FM radio since 1996. I'm in the top 25 in Talkers Magazine of terrestrial radio. I have 1 million visitors to Infowars.com every day.
I lean it on when in bed I slumber. I hear the rhythms of the music. I buy the product and never use it. I hear the talking of the DJ. Can't understand just what does he say. I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican radio.
Estudiante de los It's Tuesday, March 4, 2014.
We have thousands of young people here in the streets of Washington, D.C.
Hundreds arrested at the White House, again, protesting the Keystone XL pipeline. EPA moves to block controversial Alaska mine. New smog standards reduce pollution from tailpipes. Oh, and save lives, too. Ancient virus resurrected from the Arctic. Plus,
Germany in particular does depend heavily. 30% of its gas imports come from Russia.
Unrest in Ukraine exposes energy security vulnerability for Europe.
All of that unrest and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
It's a man-made problem.
Firstly, this...
It's denialism.
No, it's not. It's absolutely not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
It's the very definition of denialism.
No, it's not. It's absolutely not.
This is your Green News Report.
It's denialism.
No, it's not.
Okay, Desi Doyen, the rains have cleared from Los Angeles, although we made the very first joke of this week's Oscar telecast.
Thanks so much. Welcome to the Oscars. For those of you watching around the world, it has been a tough couple of days for us here. It has been raining. We're fine. Thank you for your prayers.
Well, it's exactly right. When it rains in Los Angeles, it's kind of the equivalent of snow. The good news is we haven't had rain here for 2 years, so this downpour, though it caused mudslides and all kinds of problems, was really good news.
Yes, but unfortunately, it won't be enough to end what is California's worst drought on record.
Oh, you're such a negative, Nelly. What other negative news do you have for us, Nelly?
Well, first, in international news, Russia's aggressive maneuvers in Ukraine have highlighted a vulnerability of the European Union. Europe gets about a third of its natural gas and oil from Russia, a strategic energy vulnerability that's already been used as a bargaining chip by Russian President Vladimir Putin in recent years. Former State Department official P.J. Crowley tells Rachel Maddow that vulnerability may curtail Europe's appetite for a strong international response, particularly in Germany.
You don't get into an argument with your banker. I think in the context of Germany, they would say you don't get into an argument with your utility company. So I think, you know, Putin's energy card may not be as potent as it once was, but Germany in particular does depend heavily. 30% of its gas imports come from Russia.
Meanwhile, here in the U.S., police arrested 398 young people on Sunday who tied themselves to the White House fence to protest the proposed Keystone XL tar sands pipeline. They're demanding President Obama deny a permit for the project intended to transport heavy tar sands crude oil from Canada across the Midwest to the Gulf Coast, as organizers tell Democracy Now.
Hundreds of young people, probably going to be over 1,000 on the march, all came here from all over the country, 42 states, to show President Obama that Keystone XL is not okay, that it is not in our natural interest.
Meanwhile, a new study of the proposed pipeline finds that the State Department underestimated the contribution the pipeline would make to global emissions. The study says Keystone XL would significantly increase total greenhouse gas emissions over time, the equivalent of 46 new coal-fired power plants.
I wonder if that study, as well as the hundreds of people who got arrested at the White House, will just be ignored. It kind of seems like that's what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. It's your last chance to make a public comment on the pipeline. The public comment period ends Friday, March 7th. Make your voice heard at the State Department's website. We have the links at our website, greennews.bradblog.com. In other news, big moves from the EPA. On Friday, the Environmental Protection Agency said it will use the Clean Water Act to block further development of the massive proposed Pebble Mine in Alaska. While this rare move doesn't outright halt the mine, it is the first step to what could ultimately be a veto, because the EPA says it will irreversibly harm Alaska's Bristol Bay, which produces half the world's sockeye salmon. But that's not all. The EPA on Monday also issued new rules to reduce air pollution by cutting smog and toxic emissions from gasoline and vehicles. The biggest short-term impact from the new tailpipe rules will come from reducing levels of sulfur in gasoline by more than 60%. The EPA estimates that every $1 spent on meeting the new standards will generate $13 in public health and economic benefits. Finally, it sounds like science fiction, but researchers in Siberia say they've discovered a mysterious giant virus that has been buried for 30,000 years in now melting permafrost. While the virus poses no risk to animals or people, the new discovery does raise the possibility that as the climate warms and the Arctic melts, humans could release other ancient eradicated viruses.
What does that mean, a giant virus? How giant?
It's actually really big under a microscope.
So it's not really that giant.
It's giant in the virus world.
I'm disappointed. I was hoping for a summer movie-sized virus.
The Blob.
Get to work on that. For much more on that and the other stories we didn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Download our broadcast anytime via iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn. Find us and follow us, please, on the Facebook and on the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Hooray for Hollywood. That screwy ballyhooey Hollywood. Where any office for your young mechanic can be a panic with just a good-looking pan.
Forgive me that little sort of on-the-fly mashup. But when
Alex Jones
started talking about all the radio stations he's on, well, the old DJ kicked in and Mexican radio just came running to the forefront. And bless his heart, Fritz in Arkansas picked up right away on where I was going, that line in there, I'm on a station far from home. Well, you know, Norblap 6 is a long, long way. Well, it's a long way from Earth. I think that actually is home, and he's here, but never mind. Also, a tweet coming in from Sandra. What the, Bob? Oh, my God, make it stop. Yeah. Alex, really, really, I wonder if he's got a posse that just follows him with the butterfly net and the purple crayon. I don't know. Lines are open. The filibobster has closed. 304-658-3333. And, of course, on Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, if you want to get in that way. Let's go to the phone lines. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
This is Alex Jones.
Yes, I understand.
Oh, God, how are you?
Well, you know, the liquor stores close at 10, and I just can't reach one in time to sort of brain cleanse my mind of that clip.
Well, you know, instead of tennis balls or duct tape, you know, I suggest a good shot of scotch. I mean, that's my solution to it.
Oh no! See, with that clip, it's tequila and drinking tequila bottle and drinking straw for me. But holy mackerel!
Well, each man to his own poison. I just want to ask you a question. Yesterday, when I saw Mr. Kerry before leaving for Kiev. He had mentioned some figures. The first was initially, as far as the Ukraine was to get 4 million, and then or 3 million, then it went to 5 million, or something like that.
Yeah, billion.
No, he was talking. He said million. This is what he said on TV yesterday. I mean, you know, even I know the difference between an M and a B. That's what I thought he said. And then all of a sudden. It's going to be $1 billion that they're going to give the Ukraine.
Well, that's what the U.S. has guaranteed. The larger sum was pitched somewhere around $5 billion, as compared with the $15 billion the Russians have put on the table. Like I said, I don't think we'd be very good at if this was an eBay auction.
Okay. Well, maybe I didn't hear him correctly. I thought he said million, but nonetheless, I was wondering about that, about the figures. And, you know, I just wonder, how much good that's going to do, because that's peanuts compared to what the Russians can take out of the economies of the European Union.
Well, I did see one article today saying that because of the unusually warm winter that has obtained in Europe, that the threat to the gas pipeline might not be quite as grave as had been predicated. So it's hard to know. And we don't know. Well, I guess Germany is the most at risk out of this.
Oh, yeah, they are.
One wonders about the Poles.
They're pretty much up there too. They rely greatly upon the Gazprom and the energy that's coming out of the Russian Republic. And as far as Putin being a troll under a bridge, don't these people realize that the more that they try to provoke this man, the angrier he's going to be?
Well, sure. I mean, Russians are notoriously unfunny in the first place. They don't take well to being mocked.
No, they don't. And that's the point of this call. And I think they better tread very carefully about what they say. I mean, they just had, of all people, side by side on CNN, Wolfowitz and Howard Dean.
Really? They're resurrecting Wolfowitz?
Mm-hmm. And he was going on about the dangers of Russian aggression and this, that, and the other.
Oh, he wanted to get him some war on, did he sound like?
Well, you know how he is.
Did he lick his comb?
No. He was very well barbered tonight. He didn't lick his comb. I mean, I guess they probably had his hands taped to his chest with some duct tape. I don't know. Below camera level, but
although did you notice the story today that Russia test fired its new, oh my God, super creepy, very scary intercontinental ballistic missile?
Yes, it did. And you know, there are ways of just making your position known. Now, of course, our ship in the Black Sea, that was supposedly scheduled ahead of time. And so was the Russian firing of the ICBM.
On the other hand, the Canadian cancellation of war games with the Russians was sort of impromptu.
They canceled their war games with the Russians?
Yes.
In other words, against the Russians, right?
Well, no, it was a joint war game.
A joint war game between the Russian military and the Canadian military.
Or among, I'm not sure which preposition obtains.
Well, I was just wondering about that because I was a little surprised to hear that they would be in any way acting in concert with the Russians as far as war games are concerned.
Well, they were scheduled and now they're canceled.
Well, that's just as good a thing as any, because I can remember, and I'm going back to 1983 with Abel Archer, when the Soviet Union and this country were at the height of their problems, how that particular war game with NATO nearly triggered World War III. And it was a Russian lieutenant colonel who realized that it was a technical malfunction. And instead of, you know, notifying the chain of command in Moscow, he realized it was and averted World War III. It was a Russian lieutenant colonel right there. And that's been documented.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that one evening, and I went and read up on it fairly extensively.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what they need to do. They need to reshow that film that was aired, I think, November 25th, 1983, called Day After.
I remember that.
And they need to re-air that thing on all channels.
Do you remember what a right-wing hissy fit people had over the airing of that? Well, it's not fair showing that nuclear war is no fun.
No.
And the Reagan administration got involved, and they didn't like it.
They didn't like it enough to realize that what they were playing with was dynamite. And shortly thereafter, a lot of that rhetoric, you know, about the evil empire and stuff like that began to tone down. I mean, people have realized, I mean, 1983 was a good year for that particular thing. The first was war games, and the second was the day after. And as far as these games are concerned that they're playing, I mean, the only winner of that game is to never play.
Well, I mean, that was the ultimate lesson of a movie by that very name, War Games.
Right, exactly.
Shall we play a game?
Right. But as far as I'm concerned, I mean, they're saying now that Putin is a troll that Putin is this, that, and the other. Mr. Putin is an extremely pragmatic individual. And they may have fun with him now, but I can guarantee you one thing, after all this is over, he's going to have some fun with people later. And, you know, like you said before, he is simply determined to reestablish the Soviet Union. It might not be under the old type.
Yeah, only now with capitalism.
Well, because they realized that's what did them in the first place was, you know, the planned economies, the 5-year plans and all this stuff and all of the mishaps that occurred under the old system. So the Russians have had a chance to retool, reinvent, discover where their mistakes led them to being involved in an economic collapse, which really was what happened. They just couldn't afford to do all this anymore. And now they're better equipped and better informed. And, you know, Russians do benefit from lessons learned. But unfortunately, there are others who do not. I mean, Russians learned some very severe lessons in the past. And they haven't forgotten. And, of course, what you said about Joseph Stalin's right. I mean, Hitler killed less people than Stalin. Except, guess what? Hitler lost. Stalin won. And we call him Uncle Joe.
Yes, we did, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Uncle Joe. He's our good old boy. He's just a man we can just... And I can understand that because Russia effectively won World War II. Not us. We can go on about D-Day and stuff like this. Yes, we did a part, second front, this, that, and the other. But can you imagine what any type of second front or first front would have been had the Russians and the Germans been at peace? And
the entire Wehrmacht would have been investing the European coastline from
Denmark to Spain.
Yeah,
and that's what they were supposed to do. And, of course, you know, they and Hitler had begun work on that Atlantic Wall back in 42 because he realized eventually he was going to have to, you know, defend that property before somebody may, you know, give it up. But nonetheless, we just forget, you know, the part and the effect and the immense power that the Soviet Union played in the winning of the Second World War. And that's something we need to realize and how resilient these people are. And we just can't play with them.
And how many of them there are.
Exactly. And how many people they lost.
I mean, look at, I know, Jim, it's awfully easy to look to the losses of the Second World War and kind of stop there. But because I'm all hung up on this being 2014 and 100 years ago, a little dust up taking place that wound up being right bloody. Look at what happened on the Eastern Front in the First World War. The Russians were able to send men with no food and no guns who simply stood in line waiting for the Russian in front of them to get killed, pick up his rifle and keep shooting.
True. They mobilized 15 million men. They lost 7.5 million. And if we've said this before many years ago, how many quarts are, or how many pints of blood in there in the human body? And you multiply that times 7.5 billion. It's an ocean, isn't it?
It is. It's almost surprising that Europe has not from time to time simply floated up on top of the blood that it has shed on itself.
Oh, I know. Literally almost died.
And you know, that's kind of why I brought up toward the end of the program last night, Jim, in the last fleeting moments of my conversation with Mark, that as the world appears to sort of be engaged in a devolution back toward empire, and I think you can, you know, I think you can certainly see that in Russia. Obviously, I've argued that we've been, the United States has been engaged in empire for quite some time now. You can see it in China. You can see it in the European Union, okay?
wondering whether all of this is a sort of
The EU was established by the Treaty of Rome.
I'm not sure.
Basically, it was a consolidation of the European states and things of that nature. And they
right. It's a devolution toward empire, and I think a tacit rejection of the nation-state ideas that were laid out inside the Peace of Westphalia.
Yeah.
You know, the treaties of Munster and Osnabrück.
Yeah, after the 30 Years' War. Right. Right.
Because Europe had been tearing itself. That was another one of those moments when the crust of Europe may very well have been floating on a little on a lake of blood.
And
I can't help wondering if what we're seeing is a renunciation of that principle. Because at the time, the only way to stop the horrors of the 30 Years' War was to attempt to create sovereign states that were not subject to empire. And now I don't know if this is, and I'm sure people far more intelligent than I can weigh in on this, but I can't help looking at current circumstances and situations and see that there's sort of this, and it's mainly taking place in the white European influenced world, but a rejection of that notion that the best way to go forward is to be as big as humanly possible and squash those who are small. And you can't talk about things like that without talking, for instance, about the Melian dialogue in Thucydides. Great nations do what they wish. Small nations do what they must.
Well, you know, after the 30 Years' War in 1648, when it ended, of course, I think one of the first problems with the repudiation of empire came with, of course, the Napoleonic Wars and what Napoleon tried to do. And then, of course, after that, the revolutions of 1830 and 1848, then, of course, you had the... with Italy, it was called Italia Irredenta, in which they wanted to recover this, that, and the other. And then, of course, you had the, in 1866, 1870, with Bismarck, the consolidation of the little German states and things of that nature.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but even Dr. Bill this afternoon was talking about Metternich.
Well, he was quite a statesman, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, he was. It was he who managed to, because what happened in 1848 could have gone six different ways from Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And it was largely Metternich that kept that from happening.
Well, he
realized, maybe I'm wrong, but.
Well, I think he realized exactly that the Habsburg Empire would have no great benefit in continuing any type of armed conflict. I mean, Metternich was certainly a capable man, extremely capable. And but nonetheless, Europe has coalesced into a series of empires since the Treaty of Westphalia, or Westphalia, whichever. I mean, you know, and then, of course, the German Empire was Bismarck, as I said before, and previously that of Napoleon, and you can imagine how this sort of made the Russians feel under Tsar Alexander the First. I mean, he of course was one of the ones who led the victory parade against Napoleon down to we call it the Champs-Élysées. He was the one who led the victory parade of that particular conflict when Napoleon had been defeated, and it was the Russians who basically did it. I mean, Russia historically has knocked out Napoleon, they knocked out Hitler, and they will continue.
Went a long way toward knocking out the Kaiser up until 1917.
Well, yeah, they sure did, absolutely, and that's when, of course, Lenin came along with peace, bread, land, and reforms, and basically, by the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk, said, you know, we don't want to play anymore. This is of no great benefit to us. I mean, why should we fight for these European dynasties? And of course, then before Lenin came Kerensky, who said, well, we're going to continue to fight. And then finally, they said, we just can't take this anymore. And one thing we do have to our advantage, and that is geography. And they can just drop back and forth. And
sure, you can. And those are, you know, those things go, the geographic, the Russian, you know, the Russian geography can suck up a lot of army.
You know, Frederick the Great once said, it is best to lose a province than to lose your army or to divide your army. And the Russians have benefited greatly by that dictum, or that dictate, whichever. They really have. I mean, I have said before, and I'll say again, we don't need to be playing games with these people. And like I said, there are certain parts of Russia that are traditionally under its sphere of influence, and they're going to continue to keep that. And there's nothing we can do about it. Nothing.
And the argument is to be had that perhaps there's also nothing we should do about.
Well, exactly. We have no business interfering with these people's affairs. I mean, they're going to be settled with or without us, hopefully without us, and to allow them to settle their own internal affairs. And they would not appreciate us coming, them coming over here and trying to, for example, detach Kansas or Texas or any of our other important states. Now, would they?
Of course not. And that is part of the hubris that attaches to the ability of this country to rely upon separation via vast oceans. It's well, it's an entirely different mindset, Jim, don't you think?
Well, we don't have the ability to do this anymore. And we are not the people, or not we are no longer the nation that calls the shots for the rest of the world, and that seems to bother a lot of people.
Well, it especially bothers the people who invented a little something called what did they like to call it, Jim? The Project for a New American Century.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Like I say, we can't even settle our own affairs. How can we go in there and try to act as a schoolmaster for other people in their affairs? It's just not correct, and it's not going to
happen. Well, I think Sandra's argument from last night is very, very well taken, Jim. How dare we talk about, and I'm no isolationist. You know me well enough. I'm very definitely pro-peace and generally anti-war. But the notion that we're going to sit here and talk about giving X number of billions of dollars to Ukraine, when in point of fact we have people who can't make their rent or their power bills because the Republicans decided they were sitting around in leisure enjoying their unemployment, it's sickening.
That point is well taken. Not to mention the lack of funding for the veterans bill. That's another thing, too. And yet we think we can go over there and spend money and try to buy our way out of this, that, and the other.
Yeah, you know, when you look at that veterans bill, and we talked about it, I guess, last Thursday, the bill that failed. I don't know how, I guess it's been so long since I was one, I've forgotten what it was to be 18. But if you're a young person and you're at all plugged into current events, and I realize we may have just verged over into the land of fantasy, and I'm not trying to be a fogey here, but if you're young and plugged into current events and you see that your country just said that they that F the veterans when they come home, why in God's name would you sign up?
I heard all that last week, and to tell you the truth, I was so angry I couldn't even reply. And I thought the best thing that I could say would be absolutely nothing. But I certainly agree with that. And, you know, basically,
I mean, you've got Lindsey Graham running around out here talking about what a panty waist Obama is, and he did everything but call him that. And in fact, Godzilla from Wasilla almost got there in the last 24 hours, saying that Obama wears mom jeans.
Oh, did she say that?
Yes, she did. Because he won't start World War III, I guess.
That's right, but she can see Russia from her bathroom window.
Right.
Okay. I hadn't heard that. I'll tell you the truth.
Well, you can vouchsafe this for anybody who may be hearing this program for the first time. We do not just defend Barack Obama out of hand because he's got a D after his name, and there's plenty to be frustrated about, like, you know, his coziness with the Wall Street gang and et cetera, et cetera. But honest to God, really? Mom jeans? I mean, why didn't she just call him gay and get it over with? Because apparently she's one of those weirdos for whom calling someone gay is still some sort of an insult.
Hmm.
I mean, do you see what I'm trying to get across here?
Yeah, I think I do. I certainly do. I mean
she can't call him, and these right wingers generally can't call him the one word that they most ache to call him. And you know what that word is, and we're not going to use it. So now they're trying to tiptoe around and find some way to call him something they think is really, really nasty. So you've got Victoria Jackson calling him a Muslim Marxist when that phrase doesn't even have any, I mean, it's undefinable simply because it's,
well, it's just
idiotic.
It's just an oxymoron type thing. It really is. Who is this Victoria Jackson?
Oh, did you not watch Saturday Night Live in the 80s, Jim?
No, tell you the truth.
She was the blonde bimbo comedian character, and I don't use that as an attempt to demean. I'm using it as a character type, sort of a ditzy ingenue type, if you will, only not nearly cute enough to qualify as an ingenue in, say, a Molière play.
Right.
But she played and traded on that. And then a few years ago, she decided at first she started trying to raise her awareness of herself, because of her fundamentalist, Christian values, street cred, and then she became a teabagger.
All the way from SNL.
Yeah.
Boy, that's quite a distance, isn't it?
maybe greater than the distance between here and Norblap 6.
Well, I never really cared for that program too much. I did first in the 70s when it first started, and then it kind of, you know, in the 80s at that particular hour on Saturday night, I was busy doing other things other than watching TV, and I'll leave it at that.
I can understand.
But nonetheless, I just never had much of an affinity for that show. I just never did. And when you mentioned her, at first I thought maybe somebody had ingested a huge amount of helium and was trying to sing. The Lord Jesus, nuts. Just absolutely nuts. I mean, you know, maybe she did something back in the 80s that's come back to haunt her. I don't know.
Well, you've got one weirdo right winger who has now said that Ukraine was invaded because of Benghazi.
Yeah, I saw that.
And you can add into this, there's an outfit on Facebook called Christian American Patriots Militia.
Yeah.
They have, you know what crowdsourcing is, right?
Yes, it is.
Like Kickstarter and Indiegogo, where you've got a project and people kick in, and if you meet your goal, everybody, whatever.
Right.
Well, this Christian American Patriots Militia is now trying to crowdsource, and they're doing this publicly. It's not secret. They are trying to crowdfund the assassination of Barack Obama.
Oh, my.
Not kidding.
Well.
They're taking, their, let's see, here, it, and they're putting people's names to it. I hereby, and here's what their post says. I hereby acknowledge that Obama is not the president of the United States, but a foreign and domestic enemy who has usurped the office of president during a time of war, that this makes him a spy, and that he is levying war on the United States. I therefore pledge the amount I have put next to my name as a reward for the capture of Obama, dead or alive. My pledge will be given to the person or persons who capture Barack Hussein Obama and permanently remove him from the White House in Washington, D.C. And you've got all these names. Everett Wilhelmson, $100. Michael Taylor, $100. Ernie Shaw, $100. Beth Owens, $100. James R. Jim Mines, $100. Valerie Denny, $300. Mark Kenny, $100. Cliff Rideout, $50. Dale Shackelford, $200. Liam Clayton, $500. Mike Staples, $1,302. On and on and on. People pledging to pay money if somebody will take Barack Obama out of the White House and, in their words, dead or alive.
Well, I mean,
is that a little bit chilling to you, Jim?
Yeah, it is. I mean, these people really, if they're that crazy and if they're that stupid and that misguided, and, you know, I would have no mercy upon those people. I really wouldn't. I mean, in one way or the other.
And you know what? The thing is, these goobs think that they are exercising their right to freedom of speech in doing this.
No, they're not. No. This is treason. This absolute treason is what they're doing. And you know it, and I know it. And I wish that there were some, mechanism in place to bring them into justice or some type of situation, because I don't want to make martyrs of these fools. But, I mean, you got to stop somewhere. But this is really a sad situation that's developed in this country. And it's because of stuff like this, the things that you've mentioned, the most recent thing, of course, about these crazy people. That shows you how fragmented we really are. When we cannot even vest enough loyalty into our own leadership, and then at the same time, the same crowd will be the ones who want to get us involved in some type of military confrontation with the Russian Republic. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. I mean, and the thing is, there are people in this country that are just itching for something awful to happen. A note just came in, Jim, from Jack in Shreveport, where he notes that famous right-wing crank Charles Krauthammer.
Oh, dear. Oh, Lord.
He said on PBO, and I can't place what PBO would be right offhand, but on PBO, Krauthammer used, maybe he went PBS. How close is it? No. On PBO, Krauthammer used the word flaccid in discussing the administration's response to Russia. And Jack says, that has pissed me off for days. Flaccid. Mom jeans.
Well, on the other hand, they're really showing on CNN, within the time that we've been speaking, how butch Putin is. The first was a shot of him half-naked from the waist up.
Oh, they love those shirtless photos.
Uh-huh, and then swimming and stuff like that. I mean, it's kind of, I don't know why they're doing this, because it's, when I saw the pictures flash on the screen while I was waiting for you to answer the call, I thought to myself, what the fuck is this?
And you know,
he's in good shape.
Well, and I think I think there's a cultural disconnect here too. That photo plays differently in Russian media than it does over here. We over here, who are deeply jaded and absolutely up to our hip waders in irony, find that to be hilarious. I mean, every time they mention Vladimir Putin on The Daily Show or Stephen Colbert, there's that picture of him shirtless on horseback.
Right.
And everybody just laughs and laughs. It's not a laugh picture on it's shown within the confines of that culture. It is picture of glorious leader astride horse showing profound masculinity.
And they admire that sort of thing, and that is a great deal for them. It really does. And they don't laugh at him, let me tell you. They don't laugh at him in those pictures or anything about him any more than people used to laugh about, for example, when they would put newspaper pictures or newspapers down on their table, and there would be a picture of Stalin, and if you were wise, you never put your cup down on that picture of Stalin, but you took that newspaper off the table because if you did, you might find yourself being visited at 4 o'clock in the morning and not by Pro Flowers.
No, going and getting that view of eternity that you've talked about.
Exactly. I mean, these people put a very great deal of store by their leaders and their images and things of that nature. And we, of course, laugh at them, and we do so at our own peril. But, you know, between your little thing of that woman, oh, Lord, that was just too much for me. As a matter of fact, Rupert was asleep by the subwoofer, and when that came on, he got up and went in the other room.
Rupert has good taste.
And snorted. He did.
Hairball.
He just went like that. Just, you know, what the hell is this you've got playing for me? I can stand on the TV. He doesn't like a lot of loud noise anyway. He's basically in his own domain here. But I thought to myself, who is this woman seeing this stuff? And why? And it's just crazy. And then, of course, with Godzilla from Marcella talking about mom jeans. Bob, where in the hell is this country going?
I don't know, but it seems to be going there in a hurry, and I'm not sure I like the ride, Jim.
No, I don't either. I mean, you know, all things considered, I mean, it's just absolutely, you have these people like these individuals, like Sarah Palin and some of the others, who get so much attention from the media and making these ridiculous, puerile statements. It just is enough to put you off your food. It really is. That's about all I have to contribute.
The Palin diet. Not the paleo diet, the Palin diet.
Oh, that stupid woman. That stupid woman and so many other stupid people who are supposed to be the ones that they have... can you believe that they actually use her as a vice presidential candidate?
See, that's the thing. Every time I see her, and I just think about the grave coverage that you get in moments of national crisis, and the music and the fonts and the death of a president. We take you now to the White House for the swearing-in of President Sarah Palin upon the death by cancer of President John McCain.
I know, and he's been on there going and rattling the saber. I don't know how much lately.
Did you ever get around to going and watching Iron Sky?
No, I don't think I have.
No, see, that's the one with the secret Nazi base on the moon, and the president of the United States in 2016 is Sarah Palin.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, we've talked about this, Jim. You owe that to yourself. Because the woman who does the Sarah Palin is really good.
Well, I'm going to have to put that in my visual literacy account.
That's Iron Sky.
Iron Sky. Is it available on what medium? Is it a DVD or?
Oh, it's generally out there. If you just put it in a browser or put it in a search, it'll pop right up, and you'll figure out some way to get it.
Okay. Well, listen.
And when you do, I will hear the. I will, if I stand out on the stoop here, I'll hear the laughing over where you are. You will not be okay.
Okay, absolutely. By the way, I hear we have another one coming in Thursday.
Oh, for no, we don't.
That's what I've heard. Now this is pure hearsay, but I've heard there's another one from a friend of mine.
No, Thursday high 46, low 27. Friday high 55, low 28. Saturday high 55, low 34. Sunday high 52, low 30.
Well, thank you very much, because I thought to myself, haven't we had enough? My Lord.
No, I think that's what that hoaxer was trying to con people into thinking. Storm of the century. No, that was baloney.
Okay. Well, listen, you have a good evening, and we will talk maybe later, and talk to you later.
All right. Take care, Jim.
Bye.
Cheers. Jim, whose cat has probably better taste than your average teabagger. Just so you can hear what it was that I was talking about, I'm going right back to the phone. It's got a couple of lines open, 304-658-3333. And a gentle note, so far, Anthropogene has no help on fundraising tonight. We're still stuck at trying to raise $130 this evening. So any help would be appreciated. And mercy sakes, just by virtue of how the calendar works, we wound up February in a spot. And the fourth day of March is no time to be crawling into a hole here, because that does not bode well in any sense of the word. So anybody that wants to help out Anthropogene, we need 13 folks at $10 a piece, ten folks, $13, and you know, you do the rest of the gazintas and the cipherins. But the PayPal button's at headonradionetwork.com, and so too is the traditional mail address. Here's the clip of Mussolini, Caribou Barbie, Godzilla from Wasilla, opining about the lack of masculineness of President Obama. It'll be here in a minute. You know, it used to be you could click on a clip on the interweb tubes and just watch the clip, but now we've got to have a Talbot's advertisement. That is an unpaid endorsement, and it is not, in fact, an endorsement at all. But, you know, no, here she comes.
That this would happen way back in 2008, but liberals and Democrats, they laughed it off. You may remember this.
After the Russian army invaded the nation of Georgia, Senator Obama's reaction was one of indecision and moral equivalence, the kind of response that would only encourage Russia's Putin to invade Ukraine next.
All right, joining me now, former Alaska governor, Fox News contributor Sarah Palin. Governor, before I get to you were right and they were wrong, let's show back 4 years later. After you made that prediction, there was the final debate on foreign policy, and this was the exchange between Governor Romney and
I don't
President
have
Obama.
The stomach for this whole clip. Let's just get...
When you were asked, what's the biggest geopolitical threat...
Here, this should
indeed.
Be...
Yeah. All right. Let me move on. Let me play a montage, because the president made a big deal about the so-called reset. John Kerry was also asked about it over the weekend. But here's a little montage going from 2009 through Kerry's, I think, pretty disastrous interview yesterday. Take a watch.
We want to reset our relationship.
Skip a bit, brother.
The next reset was the red line in Syria. So... has this turned out to be a failure? And what do you think the long-term ramifications are if you do think it's a failure?
Yeah, that reset button thing, that was, you know, just more more political speak and double speak that is so prevalent in the Obama administration. No, Obama instead has chosen to adopt this MO of leading from behind, whatever the heck that means. I mean, because the rest of the world looking for that shining city on a hill, looking for that country in which that they can emulate, they're not seeing that anymore in America because of Obama's weak leadership, leading from behind, which makes absolutely no sense. What's going on in a greater sense here is other countries finally taking advantage of that weakness in America at this point, because our commander-in-chief does not understand the peace through strength that so many of us want to get back to. That is the only way that our world will be safer, more secure.
Well, if you go back to what Chuck Hagel said, that the era that America is going to lead in the sea and air and in space, that era is gone. He said that when we were cutting our troops. Last question, if I can. China now has created this alliance, and they support what Putin is doing. They have their own territorial ambitions. Do you think that means, well, we'll support your territorial takeovers, you support ours? Is it potential to do that?
It is, and a lot of that has to do that with that linkage for energy resources that China so needs. Look, and my last point is, when Putin now is being accused by critics of violating law in his actions today, well, I'm loath to give any advice to a tyrant like Putin, but you know what he could do is what liberals adopt here in America as acceptable, and that is when our president decides which laws, picking and choosing, that he will follow, he can just call it an executive order, and nobody says boo.
All right. Governor Palin, you were right in 2008. Wish.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You mean I missed the mom jeans line?
Picking and choosing those executive orderings. Because, you know, that Muslim Marxist Obama, he's the first one ever to use an executive order. He invented it. He got it from the Muslim Marxist playbook, you know.
Oh, for pity's sakes. Okay, Sarah, one more try.
Our resources. And when we are not able to feed others with our resources, and so many others are reliant upon Russia, who does develop their resources, and with that wealth are able to strengthen their military and their influence and power.
All right, one more try, idiot.
And Iran is the greatest national security threat we face. Russia does continue to battle us in the UN time and time again. I have clear eyes on this. I'm not going to wear rose-colored glasses when it comes to Russia or Mr. Putin.
Governor, you predicted this with pinpoint accuracy back in 2008.
Is that pinpoint or pinhead? I'm not sure.
People laughed at it. Governor Romney was right in 2012. What did you guys see that Obama refused to see?
Well, anyone who carries the common sense gene would know that Putin doesn't change his stripes.
Common sense gene? Okay, so that one in her White House, I mean, she could have been president by now. He doesn't have that common sense gene, you know, because that's something white people have.
He harkens back to the era of the czars, and he wants that Russian empire to grow again. He wants to exert huge power and dominance, so he has to get to those border areas, and he has to capture them. But you know what, Sean? More importantly, we were right on that. I'm right when I talk about that inherent link between energy and security, energy and prosperity. And when we don't develop our resources, and when we are not able to feed others with...
Oh, apparently the check from the American Petroleum Institute cleared. Now, we're drilling harder, and domestic oil and gas production has gone up faster under that one in her White House than under any other president in recent memory, but somehow we're still not drill baby drilling enough. Oh, God.
With our resources, and so many others are reliant upon Russia, who does develop their resources, and with that wealth are able to strengthen their military and their influence and power on the globe, then other nations are in trouble.
Well, it's interesting you say that. KT McFarland, I thought, had four great suggestions. One, the Keystone Pipeline. Two, Obama should reverse course, move forward with fracking, horizontal drilling.
What reverse course, you life support system for a haircut? We're fracking the F out of this country. But I guess the life support system won't know that we're fracking the F out of America until he turns on his tap and it blows up and makes his hair all a mess.
Also, that Obama should send a delegation to Poland, the Czech Republic, Central Europe, and should help them develop fracking techniques, because isn't a big part...
Because it's not going to be any fun until they have fracked the F out of the whole world. And we just say good luck to the eventual rise of this race of 6-foot-tall sentient cockroaches.
Part of this equation is Europe is rendered impotent because 18 pipelines run right through the Ukraine, and now Vladimir Putin has control of that, right?
Right. See, and that building of pipelines is an example of developing natural resources and what they can provide to a region. And here today, was it in Washington, D.C., we had all these protesters against the Keystone Pipeline. Look, America needs pipelines, just like the other parts of the globe that we were just talking about need their pipelines. We need ours. And those protesters griping about, oh, I don't know, perhaps an earthworm will be displaced when a pipeline is built in America.
Oh, Jesus. Really? An earthworm will be displaced? The check from the American Petroleum Institute that cleared must have been really, really big. Maybe enough for a spending spree at needless markup or something. I
Holy crap! She can see Russia from her house, but she can't see the exploding Bakken oil, Bakken crude trains. She can't see. No, that's that bias thing Harry was talking about, isn't it? She doesn't, you know, she doesn't care how many people get poisoned with a coal prepping chemical in a place like Appalachistan. Earthworm. And what? There's a couple of, there's a million and a half 78-year-old Americans watching this going, yeah, I think, yeah, Muriel, I sure wish you'd do your hair like her. She makes my withered old member jump like a snake in a microwave.
That earthworm, it can take one for the team.
Yeah, but all right, so.
No, really, the earthworm can take one for the team. Jesus, anything. I mean, maybe I've got an old jug of iced tea here that's fermented or something. Good God! Has this twit not seen the footage of the burning water out of the faucets? Oh, God, shut up, Bob.
You were worried after Georgia that this would happen in the Ukraine, and we now are watching what's happening in Crimea. Are you concerned this goes further, that his ambitions are much bigger than even the Crimean area?
Well, yes, especially under the commander-in-chief that...
Here it comes.
...we have today, because Obama's, the perception of him and his potency in...
His potency. Reference the Fox appearance that Jack noted, in which Krauthammer referred to him as flaccid.
The world is one of such weakness, and you know, people are looking at Putin as one who wrestles bears and drills for oil. They look at our president as one who wears mom jeans and equivocates and bloviates.
She just called the President of the United States a cross-dresser. Because, of course, no cross-dresser has human worth. The earthworms and the cross-dressers can take one for the team, right? Oh, good God! Irish Dave asking, the half-baked Alaskan doesn't know about leaving from her behind? Oh, mercy. Irish Dave also noting, I knew that would happen when we let earthworms join the team, too, also, girls. Happy Mardi Gras, y'all. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. Happy Mardi Gras from Louisiana.
Hey, what's happening, Jim? I'm recovering here. It's going to take a minute.
From Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
It's there's so many errors in just the I just tuned in, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes ago, and. And what she was saying, I mean, like, correct. I don't know. I'm having a memory lapse. She was president, you know, in 9/11, in 2001. Was that a Democrat or a Republican?
I seem to recall it was a man who wrestles bears and drills for oil.
George Bush Jr., right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Yeah. But somehow that's the Democrats, the Democratic Party's fault.
Yeah, because George Bush was a manly he-man who wasn't afraid to go out and attack a country that hadn't raised a finger against us.
Or wasn't afraid to totally screw up syntax at all.
Well, there's that, too. I mean, look, manly men don't use grammar.
It's just not right. And then... she's just crazy. And then the thing is, I don't understand is where do these, even though they're rich and, you know, and Sarah Palin's not part of the 1%, but where does she think when the environment starts to collapse, which I think what's going to happen, I could be wrong, is like, it'll be like a, exponential. One turns into two, turns into four, eight.
Right, the feedback loop and all of that, right.
Yeah. Was he going to talk to this guy, Spook, and he's going to fix everything? Yeah, but then it might be, we might already be too late, according to that book. What was it, 350.org or that website? It's 350, right? Well, I know we're up over 400 parts per million. And it's just, that also pertains to what's going on in West Virginia and all the coal mining areas. And they're just, and then, what did I hear about? Like, now they're talking about drilling off the East Coast. Did I hear that today or yesterday?
There's all kinds of fracking waste being dumped into the Pacific Ocean off of off the California coast. Sure, why not? East Coast, drill, baby, drill. And you know what? We will, because we got the drillinest, frackinest president the United States has ever known.
Yeah, I mean, he does a couple of good things, but in so many ways, he's just a Republican light, which I was afraid of when I voted for him both times, but didn't. What's the alternative? But then I'm getting over into Malloy's camp, white and black, like the Republicans taking over, which I don't like thinking. You know, it's,
well, if you are a proponent of the it has got to collapse completely theory, Jim, then letting the Republicans have it is the answer. But that is but when we talk about total collapse, we're talking about a brutal, brutal answer. I mean, we are talking about the starvation of our elderly. We're talking about the starvation of little children. It's already underway. The numbers of hungry are already growing in the United States because of what the Republicans did to food stamp benefits.
Yeah, but that's God's will. That's Calvinism.
Well, sure, but you know, we can. I'm just all I'm saying is that when we argue, you know, just let the bastards have it. And let them do their damnedest, and then maybe the generation that's represented by my grandchildren will rise up and take it back again. I'm skeptical of that ever happening, because I don't know if in this modern iteration it's really possible to overturn empire. And we are empire, Jim. And empires do not get overturned. No, they collapse.
Right.
Once a country starts down the road of empire, it has started down the road to its own collapse, because empire is a terminal condition.
Yeah, well, that's like the book.
And that's why I raised the issue with your brother in the fraternity of gymnasts, Jim, about the whole Peace of Westphalia, rise of the nation state, all of that. Because if we're going to go into the era of infinitely expanding empire now, and it's going to be an empire on capitalist hyper consumptive steroids, then not exponential, not the exponentialism that you're talking about, but the yo-yo effect of expansion collapse, expansion collapse, expansion collapse, and it it's no fun.
I know. All you got to do is, you don't even have to study that much American history. You just have to look at, the right. I mean, before FDR got in and kind of fixed things fairly well for a couple of decades, it seems, and I might be referring to Tom Hartman or somebody, basically the American economy was boom bust every 10, 15 years tops. I mean, I'm trying to get as good as you with history, but am am I not correct in that assumption? About every 10 or 15 years, boom, bust before.
Sure, yeah, especially before the establishment of the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
And the whole historic debate about whether or not to have a national bank was a debate about economy, a debate about currency. And how many moments in American history can be described by panic of and there's a blank there, and it's 18 this and 18 that, all the way up to the Great Depression. Now the problem is that after we tried to put controls in place that would if not eliminate, severely curtail that kind of stuff, then the people who cannot resist meddling and who do not know the definition or even the existence of the word enough, in other words, the 1%, started, demands for the elimination of Glass-Steagall and all the things that led to the phony baloney bubble that wound up tanking the economy. Well, you know, that all, it was predictable, and it was exactly the kind of thing that a more regulated, closely watched currency was designed to avoid. But it won't work if you throw a sabot into the gears, which is what the 1% did.
I know. And to another thing, to act like some of the legislation or some of the things Obama proposed, if he hadn't some support, wouldn't have helped. Because you can't get any support with the Republicans. I think they were almost 100% voting against everything he's proposed. It's kind of hard to change things or get things going. I mean, how they defunded the government for what, 2 weeks? Put a scare there, and then everything all of a sudden, when like George Bush Jr. was president, where it was spin, all of a sudden Republicans got back to the, we've got to cut spending, except for the defense. God save the defense. What do you think they're going to think about what they proposed about the defense cuts? Or you think that's going to freak the Republicans out?
Well, you can tell from that clip it already is freaking them out.
They said America's going to have to just get used to being a weak nation now because, we've reset.
They're already having the hissies.
Yeah. Well, it's just like that old song from Woodstock, from this year, plenty of good money to be made, supplying the army with the tools of the trade. Just hope and pray when they drop the bomb, they drop it on Vietnam, and it's still relevant. It's so weird, so many things.
And it's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, what are we fighting for? Don't ask me. I don't give a damn. My next stop is Iran, Iraq.
Crimea, Ukraine, Kiev.
Well, that's crazy trying to get in there. I know you got to show your masculine boldness, but, you're going back to another Bay of Pigs situation.
Well, but we're not doing anything, as far as I know. We're not necessarily doing this wrong right now.
Right.
We aren't rattling sabers. We're not getting ready to roll a bunch of M1 tanks across the steps. General Jack D. Rat Ripper has not scrambled the bomber wing at Burpleson Air Force Base. But the sad thing is, that's what the Sarah Palins and the Hannitys and the really tough macho types like Senator Lindsey Graham want to do. There's a psychosis here. There's a psychological sickness, Jim. These people who are never going to have to know the misery and the agony of war are the ones who want it, and they ought to be sent to the room with the little jacket with the sleeves that tie in the back and the purple crayon between the toes. They are dangerously insane to the, they're criminally insane to the culture.
Yeah, well, you don't see very many of the Republican senators and congresspersons' sons and daughters enlisting in...
Why should they? I mean, there's plenty of poor kids in South Central and plenty of poor kids in Appalachia and plenty of poor kids in the Delta of Mississippi who will go and do that fighting and dying. And then when they get home, we can tell them to up a rope. Because we're done with them.
Well, no, then you get them to join some sort of evangelical church and get them to give 10, well, not 20%, because God always gives you back 10 times whatever you get.
We're in the wrong racket.
Yeah, we are. It's not church night, is it? No, that's tomorrow. Well, every night's church night for an atheist like me, Bob.
I understand. What a great way of looking at it, Jim.
Every night is church night for an atheist like me. Shall we let you go?
Well, enjoy. So is the big to do tonight? I mean,
This is Mardi Gras and right around. I mean, I had to work today, and I've been there, done that Mardi Gras. I mean, it's kind of cool, but it's just dealing with the crowd and those amateur drunks. God, you know.
The amateur drunks, I know. It's always the amateurs.
They screwed up for everybody. And then once in a while, you know, it's just, I don't know.
I know. You've seen one parade. You've seen one parade. You've seen them all.
Yeah. And then the capitalism, which goes behind it. I guess I had my socialist classes on. I mean, that's all sponsored by rich people, and that's them giving back, quote unquote, to the community so they can act like rulers. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they're royalty, and it's like, it's all, and you know, then you're getting back into Calvinism again, because you are the touched and chosen one, like that governor, that senator from Louisiana, who got the standing ovation, that Republican senator, who got the standing ovation for cheating on his wife. You remember?
Yeah.
God, a Republican's beautiful. I mean, they make you almost like Democrats. All right, Bob, I'm going to let you go.
All right, I'll talk to you soon, Jim. You be good.
All right.
Bye now. Jim calling from Louisiana, Stan. We'll keep this going. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Will from Chicago here.
Hey, Will, what's happening?
Relaxing, job hunting, since they are, Boston is hiring teachers, unlike here, where I like to say thanks to 1,400 teachers laid off, the market's flooded everywhere between Rockford and South Bend. And some thoughts on amateurs. It's amateur night when you have the likes of Sarah Palin, a half-term governor.
Half-wit.
Talking to Sean Hannity, who, if he is remembered for anything, it will likely be the witty little poem that John Cleese wrote about him, where he rhymed Hannity with manatee, which is an insult, of course.
To the manatee.
Like mammals, yes. But first, a quick shout-out to the listening audience. Remember, this is Conversation Radio, so please call in. And remember, Bob doesn't run this place just off of sheer willpower. Rather, it takes funds, and the bulk of the funds come during the showtime, I believe, or afterwards. I mean,
for the most part, it's during the live programming hours.
During the live programming hours.
And by the way, Sal has jumped in this evening with Anthropogene. So thank you very much to Sal. And that leaves us at $125 to go for the evening.
And hopefully I will be met, but some thoughts. I view the situation in the Ukraine as complex, as what began as protests on the ground has several components. Do I believe the U.S. and various factions of the State Department, among others, supported different groups? Yes. Why? This is normally what's done. I'm pretty sure that any nation which thought of in its interest to do so, probably expressed support or gave funds to various people. However, I view the situation as dangerous because I do not like the thought of armies from different nations facing off, because all it takes is one miscalculation and there could be a great deal of bloodshed. And this is why I am glad we do not have Senator McCain as president, nor Governor Romney, nor Sarah Palin, nor Paul Ryan, because I fear with them we would have already have been involved in a few different shooting wars. In the case of McCain, he wanted to go to war over Abkhazia in Georgia, when history shows that it was the Georgian troops who fired first. So what is needed now is diplomacy. I understand the Russians, that the Russian leadership has a view of the Ukraine as kind of theirs, which it was prior to the breakup, but I think that diplomatic pressure and talking is the way to go, because a shooting war will not serve anyone well. Plus, if Putin's forces are foolish enough to resort to violence, the Ukrainian army does have the advantage of knowing the home ground. They may ultimately lose, but they may inflict heavy casualties. So I'm hoping that there is a push for peace, which it makes statements of McCain, Lindsey Graham, and Sarah Palin idiotic, but useful in that they are showing that they are the fools that we thought they were.
And I think that in some ways, Will, that's being less than charitable to the fools.
Well, yes. Well, I would say dangerous fools, because here's the thing. It's one thing to have someone in a bar or a restaurant or a laundromat pontificate about foreign policy based on having no knowledge and thinking the solution to every problem is to act as if you are Marvel Comics character Thor and have Thor's hammer. But these are people who present themselves as national leaders, worthy of being on the world stage. I'm sorry, Dwight Eisenhower would have called these people nuts.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in point of fact, where was it? It was way back, I think, around the beginning of the program, when Marty wrote in and said, wait, did I hear that right? She said Eisenhower passed the Civil Rights Act? Or what clip was that? But yeah, one of these Titanic intellects said Eisenhower passed the Civil Rights Act.
Yes, well, you have to remember, there's a line in T.S. Eliot's The Four Quartos that humankind cannot bear very much reality. In the case of...
And I think that's borne out scientifically now, based on some of the stuff that Harry has said.
We have to look at the situation realistically. If it's generally agreed that one country sending troops across borders, and I'm sorry, Putin's protestations that there are no troops, is a bit absurd, particularly when there's photos with Russian license plates and helicopters crossing the borders. Makes me wonder what's going on in his inner circle. But if we accept that, okay, crossing borders with armed forces is generally not a good idea, the best way to try to handle it is through diplomacy, because as you said earlier, the history of Europe is one of a bloodshed. I mean, and Crimea is a case in point. So I'm hoping that calmer heads will prevail, that we will have a solution that doesn't involve people exchanging fire, simply because I value human life. And ultimately, this is the great weakness that I find in McCain, Palin, et al. They are so willing to sacrifice any form of human life save for their own. They are not willing be the ones on the front line. There's the old phrase from the American Civil War, rich man's war, but a poor man's fight. And this is what...
And with only a couple of notable exceptions, that has been the reality. Oh, by the way, yeah, Will, Marty reminds me, it was Alex Jones who said Eisenhower passed the Civil Rights Act.
Oh, yes. Alex Jones, good heavens. Is there room between his ears for the Death Star and the Battlestar Galactica? or just the Death Star? It's hard to tell. In general, I'm very skeptical of conspiracies that everything was concocted in a basement somewhere, because with many situations, a situation develops on the ground, and we take advantage of it, and other nations do. I suppose that is perhaps the nature of empire, and I prefer it to be a republic than an empire.
If you want to go back and check out Dr. Bill's program from earlier today,
because
he talks about the debate that took place during the constitutional deliberations, the debate that took place as to whether or not a federal constitutional government could be a republic. And apparently there had to be some sort of semantic legerdemain in order to convince people that the United States could be a republic.
Definitely sounds worth checking out as the programs. I think one thing that we can do is remember that we have the power to speak up and act. And this is something I've noticed about any oligarchical regime, that those who are oligarchs or wish to be oligarchs want to convince the average person you can't fight City Hall. You have no power. Your opinion is meaningless. Just go on and...
Who are the people who most spread that notion, Will?
Probably the people who... are either in charge or want to be in charge or want to be their courtiers. I joke that Limbaugh is not, might argue for a form of corporate feudalism, but he realizes he's not a lord. He's at best a courtier or a court jester.
Yeah, or an overpaid oaf.
Yes, well, they need someone to entertain the peasants, don't you see?
With one hand, yeah, with half his brain tied behind his back and talent on loan from God.
Well, actually, I would say that no deity I've actually observed would give him that much credit. I would say that Limbaugh's chief talent is he reads his lines very well for the people who write his checks.
Yeah, well, just like Sarah Palin and the Earthworms need to take one for the team.
Yeah. Well, I look at it this way. I prefer us to try to be active and do something simply because I have to reject the theory that the best thing to do is let it get as bad as possible and collapse. The problem is, in this era, with nuclear weapons and environmental degradation, you might not want to see a collapse because there might not be much of a world left to build on afterwards.
I think there's merit to that argument. You know, that Earthworms comment, Will, got me thinking, because when she says the Earthworms need to take one for the team, the fact of the matter is, she is. But there's a little bit of psychology at work there, whether she's aware of it or not, and I would say not. She thought she was just being cute. But we know, scientifically now, more and more, that the ones who take one for the team, if we define the team as being BP and ExxonMobil and the various and sundry massive gas conglomerates,
the people taking one for the team are the little babies she cares, she claims to care so much about. So when she says earthworms, what she really means, Will, is people.
Exactly. The little people, the people who live in places like Appalachia, certain neighborhoods in our cities, certain small towns, and it's pretty much, as to use one of your phrases, a sacrifice zone. But here's an irony. Charles Darwin pointed out that every bit of soil on this planet has likely been through an earthworm several times to be processed so that it can be nourishing. So, again, Sarah Palin is also scientifically wrong, but then again, this is a woman whose chief talent seems to be promoting herself. And, I mean, that's a horrible qualification for national office.
It is no qualification at all, Will. And thank you very much for encouraging people to help keep all of this going. By the way, we just had some kind help from Frank, who has now taken us down to only $105 to go, so that's a really big deal.
Hang in there, and let's all hang in there and remember that we do have the power to make change in this world. If we don't step up, it's going to be Sarah Palin and those who write her check who are calling the shots. I say time for us to step up, change the game.
I agree, because we know who's writing those checks, and apparently they clear. Take care, Will, and stay warm.
Will do. Bye.
All right, bye now. Our buddy Will from Chicago. And keeping things rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, good evening. Bob, how are you?
I'm pretty good, Dave. How about you?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. It's warming up here a little bit. We broke 60 last couple of days.
Oh, taunt me. Why don't you? We went to 2 below last night.
I know. I've been watching the weather there on the East Coast. I think I actually put West Virginia on one of my searches on the Weather Channel, so I'm always seeing what it's like there for you.
Yeah, yeah, it gets real interesting when it gets down around zero or a little bit lower, because it's like the walls disappear.
Yeah, I was. Did you happen to notice a few days ago? I posted a link to a story on your Facebook page. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
By chance, you did see it. It was about the global epidemic of riots and how basically everybody's falling apart right now. I think they're mixing it up in Venezuela, as well as this whole thing going on in the Crimea and with the Russians and stuff. I don't know. Part of me kind of understands tries to understand at least their point of view. I mean, that area is right next door to them, so they've got interest there. I mean, they're big customers too. The Ukraine's a big gas customer of theirs too. And the pipeline runs through to Europe. That's a big source of revenue for them. But I think all this fossil fuels are running out. Everybody's past peak oil, and I think our world economy is just...
Right, but they're engaged in a little bit of self-delusion because of the deployment of fracking technology. We're going to just be able to frack forever. But as usual, in a world that disdains the precautionary principle, we frack first and ask questions later.
Yeah, well, everything will be okay until everybody starts keeling over from the...
Right, and then Jesus will come.
Yeah, right. Well,
great getting up morning and all that.
I go on Reddit, you know, and I read a headline that said that Putin is pulling all of his troops back out from the border, sending them back to their bases, and he's backing down because Kerry's threats were just sounded comical and ineffectual. We can't do anything to them. They can't do anything to us. We all depend on each other to buy and sell all this poison, fossil fuels anyway. If we would only go to the renewables. Yeah, I think that's going to be the only chance we have of survival, really. this point, you know.
I keep going back to that remark that Van Jones made many, many years ago now, that that we can't just say we need to go to renewable, sustainable energy, that we also have to rethink the way we inhabit the planet on a larger scale. And what he said after that was, or else the next war will be fought by hybrid battery-powered tanks over lithium. And I took that deadly in earnest, because it's true.
Yeah, with sticks and rocks.
No. I mean, look, that's where we're headed. It's one thing to talk about renewable energy and deployment of sustainable energy, but if you do not address the root causes of things like war, and social unrest, you know, stuff like poverty, then what good is it to have sustainable energy if the only place the sustainable energy is deployed is in the is on the rooftops of Walmart and the homes of the 1%? I mean, I've got a coal-fired electric power bill right now that would make you faint.
Really?
Yeah, really. I mean, that's one of the reasons we have to keep up with fundraising. It just arrived the other day.
Well, the rates are going up everywhere. I mean, all my energy bills are skyrocketing too. I think that's the source of all of our poverty. It seems like the energy costs are just skyrocketing.
No, our power bill here is $500.
Yeah, mine was only $160 last month. My gas, but my electricity's quadrupled in the last 10 years. I think it's.
Yeah, and we run everything here on electric.
Ah, okay. Yeah, it's getting edgy there.
But we are constantly reminded that that's clean, affordable coal-fired energy.
I don't know. I think they had one big coal-fired plant out on the east side of the Cascades here in eastern Oregon, which they converted to natural gas, I think, a couple of years ago. But we don't have too much of that, here. We're jonesing for water.
Right.
Although,
yeah.
California is, and I think we're like around 50 or 60% of our ordinary rainfall here in Oregon. So yeah, it's looking pretty scary everywhere. I think that the energy though is the key. I think it's the key, and it's going on everywhere. I mean, they're really having huge problems over there in Venezuela too. You know, the rioters are just not going home. It's like in Ukraine, they're not going home.
And but there's a problem that always obtains in that you don't necessarily know who the rioters are. And it's one thing to be a demonstrator; it's another thing to be a rioter. And anytime I see the word riot, I tend to look at it a little bit more closely and a little bit askance at the same time, because, for instance, in Ukraine, the people who jumped to violence in opposition to the president of Ukraine of the Ukraine, who was democratically elected. Okay,
this is true.
The people who started shooting were, as far as I can tell, right wing ultra nationalists with a little bit, or maybe not so little a bit, of a fascist streak.
I know that a lot of them are. I think that the demographics of those people that are pissed off is pretty diverse at this point in time. I'm sure there's a lot of everybody's an opportunist. All these groups are opportunists in this kind of situation. But I think that unless we all try to come together and blame those responsible.
Yeah, hold on, yeah. Dave. I'm not coming together with any damn fascist.
Well, I'm not saying that we can tolerate that. I'm just saying that otherwise, if we don't try to somehow try to get through things and convince them that the problem is not who they think the problem is. The problem is something totally, entirely different. I mean, the whole economy.
I mean, the problem with the fascist is that a fascist wants to upset the power structure because they want to be the people in power and wield it every bit as brutally as it had theretofore been wielded.
Yeah, that's true. But I think that in times like this, things are so fractured. It's just like the Republicans are going to war with one another too, and everybody's all the populists are against all the establishment, and the establishment is against the populists. And I don't think that anybody can gain full control in this. I think that, you know, I just think that people are just going to sooner or later have to put things aside if we're going to survive. And that's not entirely, that's not a guarantee that we're going to be able to get through this. It's just like, it's the energy. I think that's the basis of it all. And the poverty that's driving all of it everywhere. But, we'll see what happens. But, Sarah Palin, I can't believe this bitch. I can't believe that anybody even listens to her anymore.
All those septuagenarians over on Fox just think she's the bee's knees. No, what you said about the energy industry a moment ago, Dave, really kind of had some resonance with me. It reminded me of a song. And I think, and it was in a different context, but I think it still applies. There's a song out there called "The Very Thing That Makes Her Rich Will Make You Poor." And I think that's the hydrocarbon industry in a nutshell. The very thing that makes them rich will make the rest of us poor.
Right.
It's worth thinking about.
Well, that's why they're so against people putting solar panels on their roof, calling them free riders, when actually they're wealth creators. The truth is.
Well, they are. They're wealth creators for themselves. They create a lot of wealth for themselves. On our damn backs. A question coming in from Marty, Dave. On the topic of energy costs, has the price of a gallon of gas has the price of the gallon of gas gone up in everyone's area? I think it's gone up 30 cents over the past couple of weeks here in Sacramento. I noticed that it's up a dime, or maybe even 17 cents. 17 cents in the last 2 weeks.
Really?
Here in West Virginia.
I get my gas at like the cheapest station in town that I can find, and it was $3.23 when I filled up the other day.
Right, and all of those things are impacted by local taxes as well. But
sure,
yeah, I think
sure.
We were at $3.32, and now we're so 18 cents, $3.32, and we're now at $3.50.
Ah, that's tough. That is tough. Yeah, there's a wide variance around town, though. I've noticed, you know, there's a station near my house that's like 20 cents, 25 cents more. So I just know one place up in northeast Portland that where it's the cheapest here on the east side of the city. But it's too expensive everywhere. And that's, you know, when I look at the economy, I look at gas prices. That's the most reliable gauge of how the economy is doing. Because we depend on it so much.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right indeed. Dave, it's very good talking to you. I hope you have yourself a good evening.
Yeah, we will talk soon.
All right, take care. Bye now. Calling from Oregon, that's our buddy Dave. A question coming in from Isaac via Twitter. Bob, how did you get a $500 electric bill? I thought coal in West Virginia keeps your bill cheap. Oh, you're a laugh riot, Isaac. Yeah, that is the cheap, clean coal electricity. And it's not like we're running around here just keeping all the lights on for the hell of it. It runs about, we've averaged about $500 a month since December. Maybe by next winter it'll be $600 a month. Because coal keeps the lights on. No, coal doesn't. Coal keeps the electricity expensive. But anyway, let's continue. Hey, welcome to the program.
good evening to you.
Hey, what's happening, Bill?
Oh, man, you guys have been lighting the fire. They've been sticking the crank handle in my ear all night. you and Jim hit. You keep going back to that 1914-1918 misunderstanding. And
I know. I'm nerdy that way.
Oh, no, man. No. This is where the century was born, basically. And it just never stopped. I mean, I talked to a friend of mine this morning whose last name, the last part of his name is pronounced Chuck. So take a guess.
Yeah.
He's Lithuanian, right? He's from the area, and I remember reading something on, I think it was the book on the two fleets of World War One, the Castles of Steel, that they showed the amount of wheat that came out of the Black Sea, and it was huge, Buck. It was a huge export for the old empire. And yeah, I know everybody wants, people want their freedom to be themselves. How many years did we put in, 1861 to 1865? Because 11 states didn't like the way the rest of the thing was going. And, it's happening there. I mean, I don't know what they expect us to do. They expect us to start launching nuclear weapons against each other because of the Ukraine. We really can't. You know, that's the ultimate survival test. And that, I wish we could do something about it. I wish we could sit and people would be allowed to negotiate. And but I think if you looked at the amount of production of wheat and such, it seems the Western European power brokers and money brokers want to get in there and take that territory over. Join NATO, you know.
Well, they want the money boys want to take everything over. I just checked in here and just a quick search. Ukraine is the world's third largest exporter of grain.
Yep. So if they export that much, how much do you think? Well, what happened? Was that the breakup of the Soviet Union that collapsed all those national states?
Well, when the Soviet Union collapsed, Ukraine re-achieved its independence and was assigned the Crimea. But there's an ethnic split. There are ethnic Ukrainians and there are ethnic Russians.
Yep.
And once again, proving the fallacy of drawing national borders without regard to ethnic identities.
Yeah. Yes, man, you and Jim were hitting it hard tonight. And
I just sit and stare at maps sometimes, Bill, and looking at where Ukraine is relative to relative to Russia and Western Europe. If Russia wants Ukraine back, and I think this is a legitimate question, especially based on historic precedent over the past few centuries. If Russia wants Ukraine back, maybe they'll give them some. I mean, because remember, all these states had a sort of at least nominal individualism even during the Soviet Union. It was the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. They were a whole bunch of little republics, some smaller than others, some bigger. But if you look at the map of the world as it is today, then being able to drag Ukraine kicking and screaming back into the Russian fold would give the Russians a border with Poland. And there are still people who, and Poland has been run over left and right over the centuries.
Oh, God, yes. It's been a throughway for Austria and the Austro-Hungarians, the Russians, and Germans.
And I don't think Jim is off base when he says that, the Russians would like to have the influence and perhaps the geographic spread of the old Soviet Union. And that would include bringing in the Warsaw Pact nations. So, if you can get yourself a nice little broad border in the Polish southeast,
It's one of those powerful things we talk about.
It's great. It's great country for tanks and cavalry.
Money.
Yeah.
It comes. All comes. Seems to come back down to that. And I don't know the. How much do you think the European power brokers have to do with this mess, if anything?
No, I think this has much more to do with Russian nationalism.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting here absorbing little factoids. Would you happen to, since you've got an interest in music, would you care to know the name of the Ukrainian national anthem?
Go ahead. What is it?
Ukraine has not yet perished.
Yeah, they all those little
countries. Not yet.
Were holding on by the skin of their teeth under Stalin. You know, that man was Jim hits it right on the head with him. Between him and Hitler, you try to choose one, you know. Hitler made the choice by attacking old Joe. Although this talk that Joe had his plans to go after Germany.
Yeah.
If needed. But Bob, it all comes back down to that big misunderstanding between 1914 and 18. The century started that way. And here we are in another century, and the same crap is going on. Jim would know if I mentioned Brusilov's offensive. He was a Tsarist general who launched an attack against Austria, late in the era, right before the changeover from Tsar to Commissar. They made a move that was cost the Austrians heavy. I mean, Austria was ready to quit. Before Franz, you know, especially after Franz Josef kicked off. Who was his name? Karl was the next guy to succeed him, and Austria was beat to death. And Germany, everything was, that's one thing the Germans were happy to see Lenin come in, because they could shift everything to France. In fact, they had to rush people to the Balkans at one point from the Western Front, because the Bulgarians had collapsed and quit the war. Now, I imagine the 9 out of 10 Americans would never identify Bulgaria as one of the so-called central powers. And, of course, we know the Turks, that the Turkish situation led to Gallipoli, which was a first-class mess.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't help any. But people were so tied to it. I mean, Austria was beaten. Bulgaria didn't have much to begin with, and the Army of the Orient that came out of Salonika, there was British, French, a couple of Italian divisions, a couple of Russian brigades that were kind of stuck there after the revolution, and they kept fighting alongside the Allies because, well, you get fed at least. You know, you get the three hots, or one hot, or one mediocre, for that matter, but it's food. It's surprising what food does to you.
And I'm just sitting here reading history of the region, and because, like you, I'm such an absolute devotee of at least knowing a little bit of history, this is fascinating. You know, Ukraine, first of all, as the article I'm looking at points out, up until recently, it was referred to as the Ukraine. You know, like the Bronx, the Vatican, and the Shoals, or the Hague. It was the, but we dropped the, but I guess the word means borderland.
Huh.
And it was only in, 1648 that Ukraine became some sort of a sovereign state. And it maintained that sort of geographic integrity for a couple of, you know, maybe 150, 200 years. And then not so much.
When you hear the morons like Palin, I can't stomach the woman. I know there was a lot of talk when she was first running. Oh, how attractive she was to who? Now, you know, I have a history of being involved with women in my life, but she's one I would have had a hard time talking to for more than 5 minutes. I mean, when they start spewing crap, it's like, how could you find that attractive?
Oh, but you know what? If you don't know it's crap, it's sad. I mean, there are people who think she's intelligent.
Oh, Jesus.
I know.
Some people believe in him, too. Yeah, I know.
Oh, no, well, not all. I mean, it's no. It, but no, they, well, they believe in her Jesus.
Yeah, the one she preaches about.
Yeah, the one that carries an M16.
I love the way she backed out of office, too. That's a class act if I ever saw one.
The half-term governor, half-baked Alaskan.
Yeah, and they're paying her for her opinions. And here I sit in my living room, could use a few extra bucks for throwing for you know, being a Spanish athlete and throwing the ball, you know. I'm good at it. I love that expression.
That's beautiful. I'm hanging on to Spanish athlete throwing the ball.
Yeah, that's one that I enjoy. But how they can buy her line of crap, and what do these... But you know, these Republicans aren't really serious. Obama's unwillingness to go to war, walk into World War III, they'll criticize him. If you ask the president, do you think it's gonna snow tonight? And he says, yeah, and it does. They'd still find some way to criticize him.
Well, he made it snow by virtue of his Muslim Marxist ideology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just what's going on is unreal. I'm working the DNB and Fool book, and they're in the stage of the U.S., Britain, and France trying to talk over what the hell they were going to do about it. And Dulles and company were ready to hit hard against the Viet Minh, as they were called in those days.
Mm-hmm.
They were ready to start getting into that war in 1954. 10 years later,
what's that line from Dr. Strangelove? The Russian ambassador says the line. He says, "The fools, the mad fools."
Yeah, because I don't know if they can't be. The thing is, Bob, if these people, what's worse about their BS is they're only half-baked serious. The minute Obama lifted a finger and, say, he sent weapons to the Ukrainian rebels, they'd be on him about that.
Well, you know, look, why not all those freedom protector woods? I do love that new word.
Yep.
All those freedom protector woods with their Second Amendment remedies. You know, load up, boys.
Yeah.
Head on over. Ukraine needs you.
Yeah.
Go protect some freedom over there.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you'll have to do it on your own hook, being as how Obama's such a cross dresser and everything.
Yeah. What's with your
mom jeans?
I've heard that expression before, and I said
it refers to the kind of jeans that I guess moms wear. You know, they're not the skin tight painted on. Sort of jeans that a hottie wears.
Yeah.
Mom jeans.
Great. You know, it's just a.
But I think the best analysis of Sarah Palin just came from our buddy Greg, who said Palin, hotter than a firecracker, dumber than a sack of shit.
Well, I'm glad he said it, because I've used that expression about people, and my own day was started out very early, and. I ended up eating breakfast at the best corned beef place in downtown Cleveland, which is, believe it or not, is owned by Islamics.
Really? For heaven's sakes, don't hide your light under a bushel. What's the name of the joint?
Slimans.
Oh, Slimans, sure. That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah. No,
that may be the best corned beef in the entire United States.
Yeah. I've got one in my refrigerator, and look at my chops to, I don't know whether to eat the sandwich or take the corned beef out, and corned beef and scrambled eggs.
Ooh.
Over, well, just what I need, you know. I'm starting to pick up a little weight, and it bothers me a little bit. And I did a radio show on public radio today with my buddy Colin. And
yeah, I was going to ask you, how did that go?
It was interesting. I had a lot of fun, you know. you know me, give him three facts and throw in a zinger, you know, and listen to the host start to laugh. Because when you do that, it's...
I'm guessing everybody had a good time.
Yeah, well, the only good time I didn't have is I bought a new... My mustache trimmer went berserk on me and left me with an Adolf Hitler. I've got to let it grow again.
You may be the only man on earth sporting one of those right now.
Yeah, well, that thing, it was cutting and ripping. And I said, man, if I was a masochist, this would have been a hell of a thing to keep, you know. So I went out and bought a new mustache trimmer, bring it home, and the thing's broken. The switch is broken.
Yeah.
And,
sure you didn't get the batteries in backwards?
Nah. Nah, the thing doesn't open. The battery box or whatever.
Oh, it's a rechargeable?
Yeah, it's a rechargeable. Yeah, I don't play with this stuff. You buy... my one buddy says, well, let me fix it. I said, fix it, hell. So I lost $12. It wasn't the first time in my life that I've, you know, to hell with it. But what I'm doing out of at between 0 and 10 degrees walking around is enough to make me, you know.
God, that was hateful cold last night.
Well, God Almighty, I remember. I think I mentioned it one winter. It was 10 above, and I'm laying in a garage replacing a oil pump because the pump broke, the shaft broke, or where the pump connects to the shaft, the distributor shaft ran off of that turning of that pump. And when the pump dies, the distributor shaft doesn't turn. Distributor doesn't turn, points don't work. What happens, Bob? Car won't run.
Right. No. Yeah, it's a paperweight.
Well, hell, I'm sitting here now. I have about five polypropylene tops, because I love those things when you work around, or when you steel fish for steelhead in cold weather. It was nice to have something that didn't weigh a ton, but kept you
warm.
Oh,
no, polypropylene can be, I love polypropylene socks.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a couple of pairs of those. They looked like things the nuns wore. They were thin black socks like some of the nuns wore when I was a kid at the old children's home there. But it just is amazing. What do they want us to do?
You asked that question, and our buddy Jack in Shreveport channeled a little bit of old Bond. He said, what do they expect us to do? And Jack answered his own question and said, no, Mr. Bond, we expect you to die.
Yeah, that's I'm old enough that, you know, I look that in the mirror every day. I mean, when you look at the mirror and it laughs back at you, you know, that's a different thing to have happen. So, I mean, I came without one of our friends. I might have done that 2 months ago. But they expect it from young children. And as you spoke about what they're going to do to these sons of bitches still can't tolerate Social Security.
No. And eventually, you know, that's if they can just get away with it, they'll tear down the entire what is left of the entire social safety net.
Yeah.
They hate Social Security. They hate Medicare. They hate Medicaid. They hate the VA. They hate unemployment compensation. They hate anything that isn't directly benefiting their owners in the less than 1/10 of 1% bill. It's awful good to talk to you, but I do have to get out of here. We are up against it. We'll talk soon.
Yep,
stay warm,
care.
Bill.
Yeah, I will. Take care.
All right, bye now. Our buddy Bill, calling from Cleveland, proud owner of a sandwich from Slimans, a corned beef sandwich, the likes of which the rest of the nation can only envy. It is time to get out of here. We're going to apparently close the evening, and it is, it's a little disturbing, but we're going to close the evening at in a $105 hole. So tomorrow's fundraising goal will be $255, and hopefully we can meet it then. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this go. Thank you this evening. Thank you to Anthropogene and Sal and to Frank, who helped it not be a $150 hole. Thank you very, very much. It's ever so important on evenings like this. Thanks to you for the time you spend, finite, precious, unrecoverable time. It means something. It means a lot to have such a magnificent group of a community of good, dedicated, and good-spirited, warm-hearted people with whom to share conversation and collegiality and common cause. Our closing observation this evening comes from Glenn. Subject line, oligarchs. Glenn says, it's unfortunate that those with the money have harnessed the power and politics of the earth. They pay those who will do their bidding. When times are bad, it's easy to buy loyalty, and it's apparently easy to find sociopaths who, with a little money, can be bought. One wonders if we are in the grips of sociopaths, or maybe one doesn't wonder at all. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, thanks to Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy, moderators in the chat room, thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, thank you to John Fox, thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, for more than 10 years now, preserving and making available progressive radio on the Internet. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACHEACT.org, ACHEACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And here comes Rick Smith on the horn.